Welcome to the bonus episode of The Good Glow, brought to you with thanks to Boyne Valley Honey. Boyne Valley Honey is the official breakfast partner of Pieta's Darkness Into Light 2026, proudly supported by Electric Ireland. Why not take part in Darkness Into Light on May 9th at 4:15 a.m. at a location near you? This is such a powerful moment of connection and support. I'll be there at the Phoenix Park. I can't wait to feel the collective energy of doing something so important and so special as communities come together to raise funds to support suicide and self-harm prevention. There's more info on darknessintolight.ie. I'll leave this link in the show notes. And don't forget to pick up a promotional pack of Boyne Valley Honey in stores nationwide, with 25 cents going to Pieta, because even if you can't make the event, you can still support such an important cause. So welcome to the bonus episode of my podcast with Amy White. We've been on such a similar journey with our surrogacy journeys, and I waited 6 years to interview Amy. It was such a powerful podcast from the moment her sister gave birth to her baby, sleeping on bunk beds in Australia, waiting for Flo's birth, and then coming home with the Ukraine journey and Georgia, which is so special to our hearts too. And Jamie, it must have kind of brought you back as well, did it?
This was like, it was just such a wave of nostalgia listening to Amy, particularly talk about Georgia. But even when she was talking about her story with her sister and the struggle there, like obviously we went through a really long journey as well to get Tali. And you look, when you're in those moments going through the struggle, it seems hard, but kind of weirdly, when you look back at it, it kind of feels like nice or something. Maybe it's because you've achieved the goal, and when you're in it, that seems more challenging. But you know, even listening to her talking about going over to New Zealand and the sleep in the bunk bed thing, like I actually laughed out loud when she said they're sleeping in bunk beds. Because you just do whatever it takes. That was the feeling that I was getting, that was coming back up for me. Like I remember when we were in it on our side, being like, just do whatever it takes. It doesn't matter. We will do whatever it takes. And they did whatever it takes. And for her sister to give her that gift, like what an amazing thing to do for someone. It's probably the best thing you could ever do for anyone, if you think about it. For her sister to have her own kids, and then for her to do that for Reggie and Amy is just phenomenal. Like what a woman, and what an amazing story.
Yeah. So Katie's home from New Zealand for a couple of weeks, if not months. So I really want to go for a coffee with her and Amy and meet her. I think there's something so special about surrogate mothers. And I've never really, we had our own incredible surrogate mother in Georgia, but I've never sat down at length with someone who's done it and spoke to them kind of about the psychology and the ins and outs and everything that went along with it. So I would love to meet them for a coffee and actually meet Katie and speak about her side, her perspective.
What was coming up for you when you were talking to Amy about the Georgia thing?
So sometimes when I think about Georgia, I feel really emotional, and I've probably been a bit weird over the last couple of weeks, and maybe that's the reason, because like it affects me so deeply in my heart, Georgia, in terms of like how much I love that country and I loved our experience. And if you could give me an opportunity to go back to any time in my life, it would be those 4 weeks in Tbilisi. Because obviously we had Pia, another incredible moment in my life was giving birth to Pia, but we had her and then we were having our second baby. So it just felt like a miracle. And we've often spoken about, you know, and I spoke to Amy about this too, like when will we bring the kids back to Georgia? And I can't wait to bring Tal and Pia as well, because Pia remembers every bit of it, which is so special. But I can't wait till that day comes when we get to get on a flight back there.
Yeah, and I think it's important that we go back when Tali understands, like, I don't know whether that's when she's 6 or 7 or maybe even a little bit older. I wouldn't bring her when she's too young because you'd want her to remember it when she's older, you know, and I can't remember what happened when I was six, you know, that way. So like for her to be able to go there and understand why she's going there and what happened for her there and what, you know, why she was born there is really important. So like maybe it's still 5 years away, but you know.
Yeah, I think it was really interesting. Something that just came up for me there was Flo speaking about how much she relates to being a Kiwi, and she's like five or six at the moment. She's six. And I wondered if Tali would feel that, you know, like I'm part Georgian, even though, you know, she may not feel that. Because I think, so what, I suppose what we're...
I don't know though, because like, sorry, just to cut across you, the like Tali, her personality is so, she's got so much fight and grit and like determination and all that in her already. And I don't believe that that's just chance. That's because of the journey she's been on.
Yeah.
Being frozen, being in a war zone, traveling 2,500 kilometers from Bratislava to Munich to all the way around the world to get to be unfrozen and then, you know, to be born in Georgia. Like, she's that way because she went on that journey. And she was born in Georgia. There has to be something. She was incubated, or what's the right term for that, in Georgia. Like, there's something in her that's gonna be Georgian.
Yeah. Otherwise. But like, you know, the way, I've never actually spoken to you about this before. You know, the way Tali is so obsessed with Pia and being exactly like Pia. Mm. And she wants everything for them to be the same. Do you think that she will be upset that her journey wasn't the same as Pia's?
No, because I don't know. I maybe she will, but I don't think so. Tali's so full of wonder, and a bit more so, I think, than Pia. Wonder, and she's so mischievous and like curious. So I think she'll be more into it. I'd say that would upset Pia maybe more than it would upset Tali.
What do you mean by that?
Because Pia's so like, wants things a certain way, and if this is the way that she thinks it is and it doesn't work out, then she gets really upset. You know, the kind of way where Tali doesn't really care.
Yeah.
Which is kind of Georgian if you think about it.
And even their palates are different, you know. Like Tal is definitely more into the food we would have eaten in Georgia.
Yeah.
I find, anyway. So it's going to be really interesting. And I love that Amy kind of brought up how much of a foodie place it is. So like, if you're listening to this podcast and you love to travel and see the world, put Tbilisi on your list. It blew me away. I know we've spoken about this before, but I mean, what a city.
Well, someone that I always look to for travel inspiration, right, is someone that we used to work with, Daniela Moyles. She is the only person that I know that chose to go to Georgia on holidays.
Mm.
And if Daniela's going there, it's got to be for a reason and it's got to be pretty good. So I know Daniela had a blog, a travel blog years ago that was really successful because she's so into travel. So Daniela chose to go there on holidays, basically, it's got to be a good place to go. It's just, it's hard to get to, but it's well, well worth it. And like you said, the culture, the Amy noted the wine and the food culture there as well. It's not even that. It's just such a historic, beautiful place. And there's incredible nature. There's incredible scenery, incredible buildings, and the people are lovely as well.
Yeah, so amazing. What I thought was really interesting, I've been thinking about this over the last couple of weeks, and it's something Claire said to me, Claire Solon on Soul Sisters, when we came home from the Rome half marathon. So she stayed on in Rome. And when we got home, I don't know if you listened to this episode of Soul Sisters, but she was like, it's a hugely masculine city. So
I did remember saying that.
Yeah, so she was getting the, you know, the gladiators vibe. Then in all the restaurants, she was like, those boys run that town. You know, they're all outside having the crack, you know, being so charismatic to their customers at the tables. And then you have all of the priests and the monks and, you know, all of those guys who are doing their thing in Rome. And so she was like, it's a hugely masculine city. And I was like, oh, whoa, I didn't pick up on that when I was there, but I feel that now on reflection. And then when I think of Tbilisi, I think it's a hugely feminine country.
Why?
So number one, because the mother of Georgia, so their monument is this huge statue of this lady on top of a mountain, and it literally towers over the whole city of Tbilisi. And in her hands, she's holding a glass of wine. A bowl of wine to welcome visitors, yeah. And a sword in her other hand to
fend off intruders. Yeah.
Yeah. And like that blew me away. Then the Bridge of Peace, which I wanted to walk over like many times. That is feels hugely feminine to me. Yeah. And then obviously the surrogate mothers there, the women who run the agencies, you know, the women who are in all the shops baking the bread every single day, the vegetable shops. Yes, we went to the baths in Georgia, me and my mum, and this woman comes in.
For a minute.
Okay.
What happened in there?
So you go into these sulfur baths, and they're on one certain street in Tbilisi, and they're ancient. And you go in and you can rent rooms or you can share rooms. So we rented a room to ourselves, and you walk in and it's full of like tiles. It's magnificent. And there is like a really warm bath, a cold bath, a sauna, and these like marble benches. And you can opt in to get this scrub. I can't remember what it's called, but this lady came in and she was definitely in her like 70s, and she scrubs your body and then literally throws buckets of water over you.
She scrubs you. So there's a video of this, right? I mean, obviously, we'll never see the light of day, but there's a video of you being scrubbed by that woman. I was like, oh my God, what is she doing? She was like, she was scrubbing. It was like someone washing a car.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'd go back to Tbilisi just for that. But you're basically in your knickers and topless. And she was scrubbing me and like making full eye contact. And
there's like a mat. It's not like she's scrubbing. There's loads of bubbles, right? There's like, it's like really bubbly.
Yeah.
So like you're covered. It's like a cartoon, actually. You're just covered in bubbles. And there's this woman like literally, and when you say scrubbing, it's like she is putting all weight into the scrubbing.
Yeah.
You know, she's leaning on you and everything. It's mental.
And you feel like a child, you know, because when is the last time you've been washed? Like, obviously, it's a privilege not to be washed as an adult by somebody else. But, you know, you do feel like a child in that moment. So, yeah, I just felt like Tbilisi was a really kind of feminine place to be. And I think that's kind of a nice thing to think about when you visit somewhere new. Like, what is the energy in this town? And how does it make me feel? So listen, we've spoken about the surrogacy journey, you know, in depth before and how much it meant to us and how special it was. But one thing we never spoke about, and Amy, you know, spoke so beautifully about how her second baby, Bobby, was born when they were still in Dublin a month early. And all the kind of emotions that came with that. And I really admired her, how she responded to that situation, like with peace and acceptance and, you know, not making that situation about herself, which I think is a very Amy thing. Like she's an amazing ambassador for the surrogacy community, because I think she understands all sides very deeply, which is exactly what we need. You know, that they're the sort of voices we need, because you know, we need people who's thinking about ethics and, you know, the safe pathway to parenthood and protecting surrogate mothers and everyone's journey. But we too had a scare a month before we were due to go to Tbilisi. And this was an exciting night for me. And this may not be exciting for other people, but maybe people who are having babies will love this night. But it's the night where you, you know, go to the shopping center and you get all the bits. So the nappies, the formula, like the bibs, the muslins, like that's that we had this night in the diary. We were going to bring Pia down to Dundrum and just do the fun bit.
All shopping together, yeah, same time. And that didn't happen because we were, I was in Johnny Fox's. My mum's cousin was over from Canada or something. They'd taken him to Johnny Fox's and she'd asked me to come and meet him and, you know, have a meal or whatever. So I went up to Johnny Fox's and just as I sat down, my phone started ringing from Georgia. It was like, what is going on? Yeah, I answered it and it was our agency over there to say that, they think that our surrogate mother may be going into labor.
And it was like 10 o'clock at night over there or something.
Yeah. So, it was still bright, I think, here. So it was maybe about 7 o'clock, probably 11 o'clock at night or 12 even, because it was dinner time, right? So I remember being like, just literally standing up at that table in Johnny Fox's and being like, sorry, I have to go.
to where? I don't know.
there was no plan at that point. It's just like, I just knew I needed to leave and go and get you. So then I rang you, I think. I was on
the road driving to Dundrum and you rang me and you were like, like totally panicked. And I had studied all the flights to Tbilisi, all the possible routes, and I knew that there was no way we could have left until like 12 o'clock the next day or something like that.
Yeah.
No matter what way we went there.
Yeah, and that meant we wouldn't get there anyway till the next day. So yeah. We're like kind of...
So I was like, there is nothing we can do in this moment other than go to Dundrum. And our surrogate mother was on the way to the hospital, to the clinic to get checked. And we went, and you were probably right that we shouldn't have went, but I was determined to go because I was like, if I have to get on a flight tomorrow, I have nothing to bring. And so I have to do this. And we went in, I remember standing in booths. Just, I was like, this is not the way it was meant to be. And Pia, our little gorgeous Pia, who likes everything, as we said, to be perfect, was having a meltdown. And she's trying to keep us sane. And
I didn't say goodbye to my friend.
I know. And yeah, Pia's such a logistics person. So she'd be like, okay, and then what does this mean for this case? And where would we go? And where would we stay? And I just remember being like, oh my God, just put the formula into the basket. Let's get to the till. And it was literally a case of taking each moment as it came.
Formula for a minute, right? Talk about the formula. How much formula did you buy?
I don't know why I didn't buy. So I had this amazing Zoom call with Jen Crawford, who is a doula. And she told me all about formula because it had been 6 years since I had Pia and I breastfed her at the start. So I didn't have a bog what I was doing and I couldn't remember anything about bottles. And so she would have probably told me to buy a box of formula, but for some insane reason, I was buying the little bottles of it.
To the liquids.
Yeah. And so we bought 10,000 bottles of that and put them in a little tiny wheelie suitcase that we were going to bring as our hand luggage for the flight.
Yeah.
And as we were walking down the tunnel, so it was a false alarm with our surrogate mother. Everything was fine. She was fine. She had gotten home. She was in bed. And
yeah, we got a call to say, look, everything's okay. It's not labor and she's fine. And don't worry about coming. We think the doctor has said everything is...
I was in pennies fine at that point.
Baby's buying socks. Baby's fine. and you don't need to worry about it. Just keep the flights that you already have and everything will be okay. So we that put our minds at rest and we're like, okay, now we're still on standby for 2 weeks and we'd learned other ways to get to Tbilisi, but everything was good at that point.
Yeah, so we were in the tunnel on the way down to, speaking of tunnels, we're on the way down to the flight. We originally flew to Munich and then Munich to Tbilisi. And so we were in the tunnel and I was like, Jamie, where's that little suitcase with all the formula?
Well, yeah, no, you wouldn't let me check the formula in.
No.
Because you didn't want it to go underneath mm-hmm. the airplane. You wanted it to be with us at all times. So it's like, okay, fine. So there we were with our bags and are like moving to Tbilisi, everything bar the formula being shipped off underneath the airplane. So we had our backpacks on and our wheelie suitcase literally full to the brim of liters and liters of formula, which then went missing in Dublin Airport.
Yeah. So I was like, Jamie, where's the bag? And you were like, what do you mean? And I was like, you know exactly what I mean. Where is that little wheelie bag? Anyway, you started running back down the tunnel. Then Pia started running. Then I started running. And then the lady who had just scanned all of our boarding passes was like, what the hell are you doing? And we were like, we left the bag. We left a bag. And she said, okay, one of you have to go. And so you went back to where we'd been sitting. The bag wasn't there. And then you went back to Butler's.
That's where we've been sitting. So we were sitting weirdly beside Charlie Borman. If anyone knows Charlie Borman, he's Ewan McGregor's best friend. And they did this tour around the world on motorbikes that Georgie and I became obsessed with. And we watched all the series of that. So we were sitting about to go to Tbilisi and we sat down beside Charlie Borman. And I was just staring at him being like, that's Charlie Borman. I was like, shit, that's where I left the suitcase. So I ran back.
Was he still there?
No, because if he was, I would have asked for a quick photo.
Would you have? No.
Anyway, so it wasn't there. And then I was like, where else could it be? And then I went, we went to Butler's.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we went to Butler's in Dublin Airport. So I pegged it.
Pegged it.
Through the airport. That little weird old bit of the airport that used to be the main terminal. And we went back to Butler's. And there was the bag still just sitting outside.
And everyone was queuing around it.
Yeah, it hadn't moved. No one had said, oh, there's a bag here to anyone in Butler's or any security. Thank God. And it was still there. I just grabbed it and I just ran.
So we got to Tbilisi and there was this like cupboard in the hallway of our apartment. And that morning when we got there, I unloaded all the formula into it. Mm-hmm. And then when we were leaving Tbilisi a month later, I opened that cupboard and
every single carton
was still there.
Yeah, was still there. As she was loading it into the cupboard, I was like, this cupboard is never being opened again. I guarantee you this is stuff is not.
Yeah, so
use a drop of it.
The amazing Naya in our agency went and bought us a tub of formula in the shop the day Tali was born. And I was like, oh,
you can get the same.
They have everything we need here. But, you know, anyone who's been on a surrogacy journey can probably relate. So that is our story and our reflection on the podcast. Just want to say how incredible Amy is. So grateful to her for sharing such an intimate and personal story on The Good Glow. And I was so glad our day came that we could sit down and talk together. You know, a huge thanks to you, Jamie, for all of these insights on The Good Glow. This is a very short season of The Good Glow. I've one episode left and I've just really loved sitting down and the feedback from people has been amazing. So I'm sure we'll do it again next season. But I suppose in terms of what we're moving our focus to now as The Good Glow comes to an end is Rome, as we mentioned in the podcast. That's our next half marathon. And I'm so surprised. No, I'm actually not so surprised, but that event is nearly sold out in Rome. And that is why we're kind of getting the team together a bit quicker this year. So if you are planning to sign up for Rome and you have not yet, please get in touch with us as soon as possible because we're not going to be selling the passes for much longer because we don't have them and we can't get any more.
Yeah. So just like last year, there was 24,000 people at that. there's already, they told me the other day, there's already nearly 35,000 people signed up. So they think it's going to sell out within the next like couple of weeks. So for us, we have to finalize everything and get it. Like, it's an amazing event and I'm not surprised, but that's actually going to be the biggest half marathon we've ever done in terms of the volume of people at it, which, you know, when you're, one of the most memorable moments of 2025 for me was standing at Circus Maximus, where years and years ago, 250,000 people went to watch the chariot races. So that's where the Roman Half Marathon starts. And we were all, every person, every one that was doing that run that day, 30 or 24,000 people were standing there. And the music was blaring. That's where Andrea Bocelli was playing. And then, and AC/DC then comes on.
Yeah.
And the buzz of that. And that I was just standing there thinking, God, 10 times this amount of people used to stand here and watch chariot races every week in Rome. It's just,
whoa,
a phenomenal start line and it's a phenomenal run. I actually can't wait to go back. Like, it was always going to be just a one and done, but it was so good. It just can't be.
It's so iconic. And I know we were saying, you know, this is our last time there, but, you know, just running towards the Colosseum at the end, just all the landmarks you run past, the people, the vibes, the music. And I think what happened last year was that we came back from Rome and we were so focused on Arosa, La Garda, New York. I don't know if I fully appreciated. I know I was crying on the way home on the plane because I felt like it was one of the best Good Glow trips ever. I loved the finishers party. I loved the people on the trip. Like, we had the absolute crack on that trip. But then I just moved on. And I think it's only now going back to Rome that I'm like, oh my God, we get to do this again. It is so iconic.
But one of the best parts is you get to train the summer. All our other trips, it's hard to get out the door and train for them because it's the days are dark and the you know, there's rain and where we live. So like getting out, even last night, getting out to run again in the evening with Run Club was just so nice. The sky was blue, sun was shining. It was lovely. And it brought me back again to last year when we got to train in the evenings across the summer for Rome, like doing track sessions on a Wednesday night
in
Cabentelli and stuff. It was the crack. So I can't wait for it.
Yeah. And we go to Cork, we go to Tipperary. We'll go all around for the training runs over the summer. We can't wait. There's so many of you signed up already. We can't wait to meet you guys and bring you on this journey. And for anyone thinking about it, you know, I used to probably be a little bit hesitant to say this before, but book it. It will be the best thing you ever do. I'm so proud that I get to say that now because I know that it's going to be an incredible experience for people.
Yeah. It's just like everything about Rome is epic. It's epic city and it's just an epic trip. And it's
even running past the Spanish Steps and absolutely.
It's through the little, when you're running through the town and people are like literally doing their shopping and then there's someone sitting at a cafe drinking a coffee as you run like a foot or 2 feet from them and they're just cheering you on whilst they're cross on having a coffee and just being out and about in Rome. It's just like, where do you get to do that?
But then also some of the Italians who are so Italian that they just don't even bat an eyelid that there's a full on half marathon. There's thousands of people running past them as they're sitting there having a coffee.
I don't give a shit.
No. And I'll leave you with this story, which is so funny. We have this amazing person in our community called Siobhan, who, like me, had breast cancer a couple of years ago. And there's nothing like a breast cancer survivor on a Good Glow trip because we just operate.
You're on different frequency. You're on some weird wave band that no one understands. It's really funny to watch.
And Siobhan, Siobhan was running, you know, in the last 2 kilometers or something, and she was running past a shop and she spotted this bag and she hopped the barrier and went in to the shop. And the woman was like, oh, are you not running the half marathon? And Siobhan was like, I just love this bag. It is incredible. But you know what? I don't have my wallet on me and I really want to buy it. And the lady said, oh, well, I can keep it on hold for you. And then at the end of the marathon, you can come back and buy it. And so when we got to the finish line at the Colosseum, we all went for a drink afterwards, actually overlooking the Colosseum on a hill, which was incredible. And Siobhan was like, oh, I have to go back now and get that bag. And we were like, Siobhan, did you stop in the middle of the half marathon and go shopping?
Yes, she did.
But that is the spirit of Team Go Glow. We've got our PBers out there smashing a 130, 140 half marathon. And then we have the rest of us who are just on a great day out. So whatever way you want to run, you are more than welcome to do it your way. So yeah, that's it on Rome, and that's it on the surrogacy for now. And I guess we'll talk to you very, very soon.
See you next week.